You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you're challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series, 40 Days with James. Now looking at James the Peacemaker. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Want to win a chance for a free tour of Israel? From March 1st to June 8th, Douglas's new website subscribers have the chance to be entered into a draw for a free tour. There are two ways to win. You can become a new website member or ask a friend to sign up. Then email confirmation of the subscriptions by replying to Douglas's newsletter. There's no limit to the number of entries. Sign up 5 friends, be entered 5 times. The winner will be announced in early July. Now here's today's teaching.
Today I'd like to offer my 38th reflection on James as peacemaker. In the previous talk, we talked about his prophetic spirit, and there were 10 examples of this just in the letter of James. That spirit was, he was fiery hot. But there's another side to the man. He's a peacemaker. The most contentious issue in the first century was the relationship of the old law to the new. To what extent Christians need to be Jewish to follow the Old Testament. There was a group called the Judaizers who held that to be truly spiritual, or in the case that we're about to look at, even to be saved, a man must be circumcised. Of course, circumcision entails following the terms of the Old Covenant. You have to obey the law of Moses if you're circumcised. The New Testament document that looks at this the most is Galatians, although you'll find more material too in Romans. Every century in church history was dominated by one issue or another. For example, in the second century, it was Gnosticism. Was Jesus even truly a physical being when he came to the earth? And many other concerns came up later. But in the first century, it was the Jew-Gentile controversy, right? So the Judaizers said to be spiritual or to be saved, you need circumcision. Of course, the apostles taught something very different. So I'll be reading selections from the Jerusalem Council passage. This is Acts chapter 15. And let's try to understand the matrix, and then let's try to understand James's words and his spirit. So the matrix in which this issue is growing and being understood, and then we'll look at James, and then we'll look at ourselves. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. So we have the issue. We've got the teachings of these Judaizers and the sharp disagreement. Paul and Barnabas say, no way. And so they're appointed, not just those two, but some others, to go up to Jerusalem. So they're in Antioch. That's what we call Syrian Antioch, like where the first missionary journey began. It's actually part of Turkey today. Lucky me, I get to be there this year, and actually both Antiochs, Syrian and Pisidian. And so they send to Jerusalem. They ask Paul and Barnabas and some other trusted colleagues to go to Jerusalem and to see the top leadership. Of course, the apostles, most of whom have stayed in Jerusalem, and the elders. And maybe the apostles are elders, but either way, you've got a lot of power there, a lot of resources. So the church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, and so that means they're going south through Phoenicia, modern Lebanon, and then Samaria, and then finally Jerusalem. It says they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders to whom they had reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." So again, we have the Judaizers, and you can see these are Christians who aligned with the Pharisees, aligned with the Pharisees. I mean, it was not impossible to be a Pharisee and a Christian. The Pharisees had a certain approach to Scripture. And in the first generation of Christianity, especially many Christians were still trying to be true to their Jewish past. But they're saying that the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews, must be circumcised, and they've got to keep the law of Moses, which is probably, you and I know, is impossible. But even today, there are a lot of people who say you need to keep the law of Moses. This was a motivation for a book I wrote called Messianic Judaism, which explores that relationship between the Testaments. And it's not always easy to understand. You know, if I had been in the first century, maybe I would have belonged to the Pharisee party. Maybe I would be saying, really, you know, most of, you know, God's word is the Torah, it's the prophets, the writings, and we got to be faithful to him. We can't soft pedal this. The Gentiles are coming in. They need to enter the covenant just as anyone else did. I mean, maybe I would have been on that side. I don't know. I'd like to think I would be more gracious, or I would have had the understanding of the Apostle Paul, but I'm not sure I would want to have the burden of the Apostle Paul, the suffering that he went through. Well, then we read, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. Now, that meeting is called the Council of Jerusalem. This would be in 49 AD, that is 19 years after the church began. The issue does come to light and becomes actually a crisis that precipitates Paul's writing of Galatians. And boy, you want to read some prophetic words, read Galatians. But that's probably in the year 48, because if the apostles and elders had already discussed the matter, it would be quite odd that Paul wouldn't simply say, oh, as we all agreed in Jerusalem. But that was the next year. Anyway, we have the council, and the apostles and elders go through a discussion, and then Peter takes a stand, and then Paul and Barnabas provide evidence. Let's read. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we're saved just as they are. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. All right, so we have Peter, who's very respected. He speaks and shares, and he had learned in Acts 10 and 11, learned or relearned, that God accepts the Gentiles as they are. And then we have Barnabas and Paul, who have, I mean, they're not just sharing theoretically. They've been traveling through Gentile territory, preaching the word, starting churches, and it's very clear that God accepts this, and God actually even verifies his acceptance of the Gentiles through various miracles. Well, next, James guides the meeting towards a constructive conclusion, and he'll suggest a letter, the letter that should be personally delivered by respected leaders. He thinks that's the best practical measure, and his suggestion is followed. Let's read. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. So James speaks up. He acknowledges the words of Simon. This is Simon Peter, of course, and Paul and Barnabas. And God's plan to create a people for himself from the Gentiles. Really, this is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12:3. And he says the words of the prophets are in agreement with this. And then he quotes from Amos. And we read, after this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, namely all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things. James knows the scripture. He knows the application. And of course, if James were literally reading, or let's say too literally or too woodenly reading Amos, then you would expect that the sad situation in which God's people found themselves would be rectified in part by rebuilding David's fallen tent. Well, I mean, the tent was the tabernacle. This is the temple that's here, and the temple's rebuilt. But the idea isn't that all the Gentiles become Jews. It's that they share in the promises to Abraham that they would seek him, that Christians would make this easy for them to happen. Oh, his quotation of Amos is very interesting, and it shows that the Christians, the leaders in Jerusalem, did not believe that Judaism needed to continue. Christianity is rather the continuation or extension of Judaism. That's probably a better way to put it. It's fulfilled. It's not irrelevant. It's fulfilled. But look at the way the New Testament writers interpret the Old Testament. So James knows the scriptures. And then he says, it is my judgment, and here he's speaking authoritatively, isn't he? It's my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, and then he makes a few practical suggestions, because he says the Gentiles are familiar with the law of Moses. It has been preached in every city from the earliest times, and it's read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. And the Gentiles would have been attracted to that. They would have known. And then Luke tells us the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And so the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, and where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. And things go well. So James listens to everybody. He adduces the appropriate scripture. The result is edifying. And it's clear from passages like this that James was a most respected leader in the Jerusalem church. Well, how about you and me? Surely, we may not be presiding over councils, but we all have issues that come up that we need to talk through. Maybe in your apartment or house, maybe among your family members or your workmates. We need to listen. Let's aim to become good listeners, like James, carefully hearing and evaluating both sides of any argument. This also means we should learn to think theologically about spiritual issues, about our world. Do we think about it theologically? Do we see where the scriptures apply? Thirdly, we should aim for practical solutions. Let's try to craft practical solutions and entrust others to execute those solutions. We don't need to dominate. You know, James, he hears, he weighs, he evaluates, he makes a suggestion. He's happy for others to go on and bring the plan to its conclusion. And so let's be team players, number four. And number five, remember Jesus' words, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Why are they blessed? It says because they'll be called sons and daughters of God, Matthew 5:9. Well, next time we'll be looking at James the martyr. For now, let's pray. Lord, thank you for opportunities to learn even more about this great man of God, James. We want to be like him. Help us to know the scriptures, to listen, to think theologically. If we have leadership gifts, to lead well. Help us to be team players. Help us to strive to be the kind of men and women that Jesus calls us to be, really the people like him who are wise, who are peacemakers. We need this. Our churches need this so desperately. Thank you, and please work this in our lives. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas' teaching on 40 Days with James. For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas' website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas' teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.